So we're very privileged to have people who've flown from as far away in the world as you can get from here to here to be with us today. And I'm going to load the latest version of the presentation. Dr. Zhang will be our first speaker. He is professor and director of the Department of High Technology, Development and Industrialization at the Ministry of Science and Technology in China, and is one of the lead regulators for RFID, who we've heard here throughout 2 days from, in many cases, from companies looking at how do we integrate RFID, what do we want to do with RFID in our companies. And so he's got an even larger beast to wrestle with. So we're very privileged to have him with us. Does anybody know the password on this machine?
Password the same as the username AV Redwood. And I think the cable can be a plug in on the right side.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Zhang.
Thank you, Steve. Yeah, I would like to take this opportunity to say several words for RFID in China. So I think a lot of people pay more attention to our country, how to use RFID. So I think this is several reasons. The one is the China is the largest population in the world. So also, maybe this is an old vision. This old vision, not new vision.
Oh, this is the old version?
Yeah, old
vision. Okay, we have a new version.
So I think. First, I want to introduce some of the several words for our ministry. Our ministry is a science and technology ministry. They are focused on the research and set forth and macro strategic for science and technology development, as well as the gathering policies and regulations for science and technology. and also to the conduct research on key issue related to the promotion of economic and society development of better science and technology. Also to research and determine to major development and priority areas for science and technology development, and also to promote the building of the national science and technology innovation system, and improve the national science and technology innovation capacity. So I think a lot of people look at the China, how to develop the RFID application, because this is the several regions. The first reason is the largest population and the largest consumer market in the world. So the second reason is the manufacturing center of the world, and also related to for the biggest the company in the world. So how to use the RFID also not only related with the Chinese company, also for the foreign big company. And also IT applications is just at the beginning, with much more potential to be explored. And this picture is the RFID market in 2004. And RFID technology and applications have got the promote development in the last 2 years in China. And recently, all of the everybody have a new ID, use the RFID. So this total the market is about 150 million US dollar. And the potential application in China market, I think maybe in this several area. One is the security and the safety. And also it's very important the area is counterfeit. For example, some of the healthcare, tobacco, and leak. And also, we are application the RFID, maybe in the logistics. And also for the manufacturing process management. And also for the e-ticket system, such as the subway ticket. We already use it in Shanghai, and also we will use it in Olympic Games in 2008 and Shanghai World Exposition in 2010. And also we are developing this RFID using the vehicle management system. When the vehicle passes the gate, they can show you the picture and the color, and you can find it. And also, we use it in the supply chain management. And this is the hardware use the RFID. So this is container tracking. This is located in Shanghai. And recently, we used the RFID. The tag in Shanghai International Port Harbor, and they connect with the another very important harbor in Yantai, Shandong Province. Up to now, they are already shipped more than 7,000 containers. They are still do the demo. Also, we are already use it in the fireworks management. Because it's dangerous, always take place some the accident. And also we use the RFID in the dangerous gas management. So we put the tag in the tanks. And also we use RFID to management the animal and the food. And also in Shanghai, we have put the tag in the air of the dog, so we can find it. And they put some illegal or only illegal. And also we use it in the coal miner location and the tricking. So also in China, frequently take place some of the accident in the miner. So how to catch time to save the life, this is very important. So I think I just look at the TV. North Carolina also take place some of the accident. So I think this is very popular in the near future. How to application this technology to save the life. And we already give them the pilot project for the post office. This is China post office use the tag put into the mailbags in for the EMS. The this is Shanghai use the post office use the RFID. And this is a manufacturing process management. For the products line to manage the each product's point can control the product's quality. This is China the RFID industry policy. One of the most important areas in China, the national development planning and on the high tech area for the coming 5 years. So this is a big program. And also make China RFID technology strategy and policy. Funding RFID application to promote the RFID technology and industry development. And our ministry also constitute the China RFID technology white paper, work together with the other 14 ministry or departments. Because you know, this kind of application related with the different ministry or different department, so we must work with them together to make the policy and make some standard. Also research and establish the architecture for the China RFID standard, which connect with the international standard and accommodate the China surrounding. And set a specific RFID program in National High-Tech R&D Program. This 836 program established in March 1986. This is reviewed by the very famous leader, Deng Xiaoping. So to speed up the progress of RFID research application and industrialization, and set up a RFID committee to make the national RFID research plan and fund RFID research and fund the RFID application, and help local government to set up RFID research technology and industrial zone. Also, we are paying attention research on standard. I think the standard can research for the several direction. The one is the products coding standard, and also for the RFID communication protocol, and also RFID product standard, and the equipment standard, and also for the application standard. For example, if we want to use in the post office, we must make sure what kind of the which the position you can put on, and what the frequency you want to use it. And also for the different industry area, we must make decision what kind of frequency you can use it. So, for example, for the medicine pills, so where you can put it in the bottle. So we must make a lot of application standard. This is very important, I think. And also we established some the testing and the certification center. We have set up the National Testing Center on FID technology. So one of them, we are testing the product's performance. And also we evaluate the RFID products and simulate application environments and assess the applications. For example, I say that we use in the cold manner, the tracking system. Maybe we want to use the active tag. In the normal surrounding, maybe they can transfer the information more than 100 meters. But when take place the accident, the core will fall down. So in this kind of situation, how long they can transfer the information? So this is must the simulate in the labor. Also, we pay more attention to the text. We set up some research project. For example, we research the UHF chips and the UHF antenna design, and also tech integrate with the other sensor technology, and also pay more attention to packaging. And in the reader, we are also research some UHF reader and the UHF reader antenna design, and also active RFID technology. For the research network architecture and product name, service system for supply chain management. And also we support the planning to set up local products name service system on the China domestic supply chain environment, which could map the synchronize the data with the other name system, for example, the OS system. So carry out the international collaboration with the all kind of the organizations, such as the Standard Committee and the Research Academy, also for the some big company or some foreign government. So I think this will open the door to want to cooperation with the different partner based on their women cooperation. So I think this is a big issue, not only useful for China to develop their technology, and also I think must cooperation with the, every organization or every country. They can do more best to reduce the cost and also develop the next generation the technology, make the chips more cheap. And also for the tax, they also reduce the cost. So I think this is a big issue. So we must cooperate each other. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Dr. Zhang. And now for a different perspective from Europe, we're very privileged to have Peter Fries, who is the DG Information Society and Media Network and Communications Technologies ICT for Enterprise Networking Director for Europe, and is actually one of the principal funders of some programs that you've already heard about, including the PROMISE program that was introduced yesterday. Thank you, Peter.
I put it here. Or... Fine. Okay. So... Let's find this. Okay. papers. Thank you very much. Well, perfect. Thank you very much. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks a lot to Steve and John to have the opportunity to talk today on behalf of the European Commission. It was quite a long journey, anyhow, to come over, and it was, for me, the last time I've been to the States is 26 years ago. So, and then I have been to California, so it's first time to be the New England States. Well, I would like to present you briefly the European perspective on RFID. I'm working in public administration at the European Commission. I'm sure that you're familiar how the Commission works. We are a supranational body. And we have no ministries, but we have a lot of directorate generals, and each directorate general has a commissioner. And yesterday, Tang told about the 30 models on pedigree. This reminded me quite well of our work, because we have always 25 member states, and depending on the subject, we have a very, let me say, good direct power, or we are more working on a basis of being a facilitator. So, and for RFID, I think it's between both. I'm working on research administration, which means that basically the European Commission is not executing research on its own apart from some specialized institutes. We are always commissioning in the work or in the frame of some framework programs research. And what we try always is, of course, in terms of speeding up Europe's competence and competitiveness, to facilitate the right research issues and at the same time to ensure that the results of the research are going to be taken up afterwards, and there quite often Europe has some weaknesses. So basically what we try to do, as I did yesterday and to today, is to learn and to see what should we, where should we proceed in terms of the future of RFID research. So I'm juggling around about an inter-service working group we established last year on RFID, on international collaboration, European research on RFID, topics of RFID discussion as you see it in Europe today, and next steps. Well, what happens quite often is in public administration that depending on the application cases, a topic pops up in different administrations, and for example, there is the topic of standardization, RFID and frequency. It's about customs issues, it's about enterprise cooperation, supply chain management. And then we discovered actually last year that we should realign our forces and should go for a coherent approach. So actually 12 director generals since then tried to work together. And actually my head of unit is the coordinator, and my colleague from Eriksson, myself, we are managing this inter-service working group, which is quite promising and seems to be a good opportunity, a good action for Europe. Actually, what we want to do is, of course, go for a horizontal coordination of activities in RFID in Europe, try to cooperate with national authorities and standardization bodies, as it has to do a lot with aligning, I would say, efforts and standards, and provision of ground for international cooperation. Of course, we see that Europe, as all the big economic zones, tries to be one of the leading ones, but still, as RFID is a global issue, we have to always go for a global cooperation. And I give you some examples. We had quite some contacts with Dan Capio from the Department of Commerce. There was recently the US Information Society Dialogue, and one major issue was RFID. There are informal discussions since last year, and there was attendance for us on a Department of Commerce workshop. Last week, our Commissioner Reding visited China, so there was a contact with the European Ministry, with the China Ministry of Science and Technology. We cooperate with the OECD, and we have as well a transatlantic consumer dialogue. What we normally do in Europe is, apart from national research programs, that we have so-called multi-annual framework programs, which are like some sort of some big machineries that, based on extensive stakeholder discussion consultation, we're going to develop specific research subjects, which then are updated each 2 years. And as you can see, that we do quite a lot on RFID research since 10 years. difference between project and funding is that this is always a collaborative funding. So we normally ask the participants, which means research institutes and companies, to contribute up to 50% of the project budget to carry out the work. This figure gives you only an idea on European level. And a part of this, I think you can easily double this, is that we have all, of course, in different member states, national research. And what we try since some years is to go for so-called European research area, which means that we try to coordinate better European and nationwide research. And I think it starts to work. Just to give you a glance on the topics we cover, it's a very colorful pie, and it shows actually that it goes really from supply chain management, e-government, justice, liberty, and freedom. I'm just picking up some smart devices, goes into nanotechnology. So there's really a big bundle and a bunch of diverse subjects all dealing around on RFID. What we see today on as typical topics in Europe is in terms of the application areas, we see supply chain, logistics on the forefront. We see product life cycle, after sales service, intelligent maintenance. We see health is a very important issue, and to some extent as well inclusion, which means how can we help elder and disabled people, people with additional needs, to participate in a modern society. In particular, as you notice, that Europe always try or has gives a special emphasis on so-called social coherence and inclusion. In terms of research and development, it's basically about tag reader hardware, it's about smart sensors, it's about software applications, about nanomaterials. Interoperability and standards, basically frequencies, data structures, and tag interrogation. And particularly on this, in terms of frequency, of course, we have to harmonize frequency spectrums for RFID usage in 25 member states, and there we are on good track. We gave as well a particular emphasis on RFID governance, which means rules and procedures, competition, robustness in terms of object naming services and discovery services, as we see this as a very important issue, and we want, of course, to have No, incumbent power. So we would like to go there for some a mixture between an open and competitive approach. Privacy and data protection is, of course, high on the political agenda, and as well all the security issues around RFID. What we see as well is our RPI free standards, intellectual property rights, international trade, health, the environment, identity theft, ethical aspects, I think are going to become very important. And what we see as well is labor practices. So we try to have a look that usage of RFID might have some impact on, not only negative, but might have impact, of course, on labor forces. And perhaps we do have to act as well besides some technological development to provide some measures. I give you here some typical examples what we try to do in European research in RFID, and I'm proud that in two projects we have outdoor D-Labs included. For example, Professor Fleisch is participating as well. I think it's even the MIT, and as part of the Bridge project in which APC Global and GS1 organizations are going to participate. So what you see, for example, apart from supply chain management, it's really about using RFID to go for a better customer service apart from just providing the right product at the right time and the right shelf or display. It's really to say how could we use data to save resources and improve customer service. I think RFID solution for global environment, Bridge, is really to say that in seven application sectors from some sort of European perspective in a global-wide frame, the GS1 organizations would like to drive the rollout of APC Global. Yesterday we talked as well about on anti-counterfeiting solutions, it's very important. And for example, another important issue is the quality of food, so traceability of lives. So there was some scandal on meat some years ago, so there's some sort of sensibility and awareness in Europe to have good food and life quality. Perhaps what we see as well, it's not only that we see RFID in itself, we try to see it in a broader context, which is, apart from saying it's the Internet of Things, that we say tomorrow the world will be networked and consisting of a lot of intelligent products and objectives. In this case, of course, we have to go for different business models, different development processes, new ways of cooperation of suppliers and after sales service providers. I think it's about a very robust and safe IT and network infrastructure, as the network will be the major backbone to facilitate the existence of all these intelligent objectives. And I think, of course, it's how, in a world of increasing complexity, which where and how we should use intelligent machines to handle all data and information, which I think it would be more and more difficult for human beings to cope with the increasing amount of data and information. What we see this year is very important from European perspective. As far as RFID is concerned, we are going to shape the next framework program. It's the FP7, which is going to start in 2007. Furthermore, we try to provide orientation for stakeholders. We talked a lot to Intel, APC Global, VeriSign, consumer organizations. And apart from the idea that there is or is not the need for some regulation, we see that quite often it's a question of orientation, saying what would be a good practice or on what should we conclude to go ahead. And for this, we try to carry out, as part of a public consultation, 5 important workshops where we try to invite relevant stakeholders to come up with ideas how we should go on, what should be in terms of regulation, but as well in terms of, solutions, definitions, what should be a good way for Europe to go forward in the balance between being competitive and at the same time try to stick to European values, as we try always to carry them on. As I said as well, we think that we at the end of the year we could have some ideas about political action in order to drive the usage of RFID. I would like to invite you, if you're anyhow in Europe or try to come over. We're going to have 2 important workshops soon. One is called From RFID to the Internet of Things. It's more about sensor networks and ideas we discussed yesterday. So I would invite you to come over to participate in this workshop. Or 1 week earlier is the slightly enhanced perspective. It's about ambient intelligent technologies to enhance the product lifecycle, which goes more towards the idea of networked and intelligent objectives and further research needs. And of course, we try to take this to get the ideas and to fill up the next work programs, which then, of course, later on will lead to call for tenders. And then, of course, we would like to invite you to participate. And last word to say, it's basically European research, but there are a lot of mechanisms to going for international cooperation, which Asia, China, and the U.S. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Okay. Our next speaker is a colleague from the Auto ID Labs at ICU in Seoul, Korea. His name is Dayong Kim, and he is his talk is on the evolvable network of tiny sensors, otherwise known as ANTS, and the Hanra Mountain Disaster Management Program, which we gather is one of the flagship programs in Korea.
Thank you. Thanks, Sathya. Good afternoon. First of all, I'd like to thank you also, Boston. You know, Boston gave me a gift, yesterday. It's cold, I just got the call. So without cold, my original voice is much worse than this, Thank you, Boston. My topic is a little different, from original RFID. I'm more interested in, the sensor network. And actually, the ANTS is the project, that I have been carried out in the last 4 years. And the ANTS aimed for, some public sensor network. In Korea, we would like to deploy sensor network in, in the nation, like internet. Internet is, the now worldwide, right? So that's a public sensor network. Without public sensor network, we cannot. The companies and government, the organization cannot, share the, the sensor information. So we need some, standardization of a sensor network. That's a public sensor network. Also, there are another research topic, that's EPC sensor network, actually, you already know that, the EPC, the Autoide Labs already planned, to develop EPC class 2, 3, 4, and 5. Actually, class 4 tag is ad hoc active tag. That's very similar to the, the sensor network. So, actually, this is not a new topic, so this is a reserved topic, so I'd like to propose, to research it more on EPC sensor network. This is the contents, that I'd like to talk today. The first one is the ubiquitous sensor network. That's some new terminology. Actually, this was named by the Minister of Information and Communication in Korea. He is Dr. Jin. He's a former CEO of Samsung Electronics. I'd like to, define ubiquitous sensor network first, and then ANTS and also EPC sensor network will be described. Ubiquitous sensor network actually, includes passive RFID tags and active tags, and also some sensor tags and the sensor network. So, actually, at least, we consider four different types of tags. The first one is EPC, the passive RFID network. As you know, tags, readers, and all bunches of, the EPC network middlewares are for the EPC RFID network architects. And the second one is active tags. We use a battery to lengthen the radio ranges. This is some examples from the company Savvy. Using UHF, we can achieve, more than 100 meters of a radio range. That's active tag. And the third one is smart active variable or a sense tag. Here, we put some batteries and also sensors in very, thin, tag. So that's a smart active variables. There are also semi smart active labels and smart active labels in this type. And the final one is, the sensor network. The sensor network is a network of sensor nodes. And each sensor node has a microcontroller. So it has computation capabilities and also active wireless communication capability and lots of, different types of sensors. If they are deployed, then they, the self-configure. They form an ad hoc network, right? So we can cover some large area, large areas with the sensor network. So, so far, there were, the RFID research community, development community, and also there are many people are working in sensor network areas, very, hot topics. So, I think I'm wishing, the RFID people and sensor network people should meet together and then find, the more, the different or advanced, types of business model. So, ubiquitous sensor network, we define, the actually, you can see in the right-hand side, we call it BCN, Broadband Convergence Network. That's just some, high-speed internet. It also includes some, the cell phone networks and DMB network. That's just some kind of legacy network. We would like to, include passive RFID, active tag, and all sensor tags and sensor network. And then we would like make it as some public infrastructure. That's a ubiquitous sensor network. So as Sangguk told yesterday, you know, the Korean government has some vision like IT839. Actually, you know, the minister's car plate number is A390, you know, okay. And the vice minister, cab gas, is A391, something like that, you know. So the government, you know, the emphasize, you know, the all, you know, that is IT839 strategy. And we said, you know, three public infrastructure, that's one is a broadband convergence network, and second one is this ubiquitous sensor network, including both passive RFID, active tag, sensor tag, and sensor network. And then the last one is IP version 6. So that's, you know, some public infrastructure we would like to build in Korea. I'd like to, you know, the first introduce my current project. That's that's for the public sensor networks. You know, sensor network is, as I said, very, you know, the popular, you know, the areas, and there are many people that are working on it. When I started this project 4 years ago, you know, I set some theme. You know, that's a evolvability. You know, I envisioned that, you know, the in the future, sensor network will also, you know, the populate the globe, you know, like currently internet does today. So the sensor network, there will be many, you know, the sensor nodes, like there will be many RFID tags in the world. So the lifetime of a sensor network will be also very long, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, who knows, right? So after they are deployed, then they will evolve. You know, sometimes, for example, the mission is changed, so we have to update the mission. Or some network, even, you know, the network protocols and some, you know, the key components also can be changed. So all the components of a sensor network, from hardware, operating system, and network protocols, even, you know, some location sensing protocols should have a capability of some evolvability. So to do that, we have developed the hardware and software platform. You know, those are hardware and software. Maybe, you know, the similarly EPC class 4 tech may have, you know, this kind of software inside. From the bottom, actually, we have 4 types of hardware. The H1 is a very small sensor node. It can be attached to the switches or some light, you know. And H2 is more advanced, you know, the sensor node. It's very similar to, you know, the Berkeley's Mica 3s, Moto 3s. And H3 is more advanced, you know, the sensor node. It has sensors like CCD cameras and something like that. And also it can have some image processing capability inside. And H4 is some base station and gateway to the legacy network. It can be compared to the RFID leader in our EPC network. Above the hardware layers, we have operating systems and several different types of network stack, including MACs and network layers, and also securities and time synchronization protocols, and also location sensing algorithms and power management, and also some middleware. So that's the platform we have. Using this platform, we have prototyped some systems, like some military reconnaissance system using unmanned helicopters, and also you use the sensor network in the greenhouse, something like that. This is the current project what I'm carrying out in Korea. If you, you know, the visit Korea, actually this is South Korea, and then in southernmost area we have some big, you know, the fantastic island. It is called Jeju Island. We have the highest mountain in Jeju Island in Korea. It's almost 2 kilometers high. Now we are deploying, you know, sensor networks in the trail of this mountain, Halla Mountain. Actually, it has four trails. Among four, we choose two. One is 4.7 kilometers long. The other one is 3.1 kilometers long. So we deploy sensors every 100 meters, in some areas every 250 meters. And then we collected the weather information in real time, and then we actually that collected information will be forwarded to the my university. Actually, it's a 500 kilometers away from this mountain. And then this collected information is going to be delivered to the some climbers, the climber who carries a solar phone. Okay, so they can browse the weather information in the trail. Because this is 2 kilometers high mountain, the weather varies a lot. When we go to the mountain to test in the circle, we see the mountain, then it looks like a lane, okay? And then I asked a student to buy a lane coat, and I climbed. Then, at that time, actually my face and arm are all burned, So, the weather is, very varying. And even, I arrived at peak, and then I saw people wet, They took another, trail. So, this is very important for the climbers. So, this is one of our, sensor network products. So, this is some, the pictures I have taken in the trial. And this is currently installed in the mountain. Actually, still we are in the development and the test. And so that's for the, the public ubiquitous sensor network. Actually, I'm the chair of a Korean National Standards Committee for the public ubiquitous sensor network, So we are trying to, the standardize network protocols and also network management protocol and something like that. And then we joined AutoID Labs, last April, and then we learned, the RFID stuffs, and then there are also very interesting topics here, actually this is maybe drawn by Elga, so AutoID Labs have, the three different research, the categories from bottom RF and chip design, including EPS class 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and networking and software, and business and application, also, the privacy and security. Actually, we have interest in EPC class 4. Okay, so maybe EPS class 1 uses Gen 2 L interface, 3 may use the, the same interface, L interface, 3 actually, I don't know. Maybe four, the L interface should be changed. We need a MAC protocol, and also we need, add-on network protocol. So we have interest in, and we also, analyzed, the sensor net, EPC network middlewares, to include, to include, sensor tags and the sensor network, also the middleware maybe should be, changed, modified, and added, and something like that. For example, ALE and the LIDAR protocol, it has some filtering capabilities, right? So it can filter out some specific EPC code. Same, for example, if we include sensors, then we can also filtering out some data which has a sensor value within some range, something like that. So filtering, also EPC IS repository to you have to accommodate sensor information, and EPC IS discovery you also have to use the sensor value for, for the discovery, something like that. So I think this is also a very great challenge, So this is the proposal, that I'd like to propose in this EPC global community. Okay, thank you very much.
So by the way, the title of this session is Beyond the Supply Chain, right? So we talked about some of the range of applications down into the coal mines in China, and then in Europe, and up in the mountains of Hanaro. And now we're privileged to have Ji-Hee Yong, who is the Emerging Business Incubation Manager of the Technology Strategy Office of SK Telecom in Korea, who will share with us how they're extending RFID into the network.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I am Jin Yoon from SK Telecom, which has about 18 million mobile subscribers in Korea. Today, I would like to introduce the mobile applications for RFID technology currently planned by SK Telecom. First of all, let me briefly introduce SK Telecom to you. SK Telecom, since its foundation in 1984, has been providing mobile communication service in Korea over 20 years. We commercialized the CDMA network in 1996 for the first time in the world. SK Telecom's wireless internet services are offered in two brands, NAT and June. NAT is a general wireless internet service, whereas June is a multimedia service based on CDMA e-video network technology. SK Telecom's wireless internet services recorded an approximately record of $1.7 billion. The wireless internet service took up 20.6% of SK Telecom's entire revenue, which increased by threefold in the last 3 years. The current growth momentum is expected to continue, but Korean mobile market is fast getting saturated. We must develop new growth opportunity now, and we think the mobile RFID application will be one of growth engines. We think we have found one solution, that is ubiquitous service based on convergence. Our customers desire personalized, customized services and more user-friendly devices. Such customer needs will spell an opportunity for operators to use as a new growth engine. This trend will be further accelerated by the interactions between drivers of convergence, while the convergence trend will present both opportunities and threats to telecom operators. It will undoubtedly bring about much enhanced values to our customers. I will explain the business strategy of SK Telecom. As you can see in the chart on the left, SK Telecom has recognized the convergence business as a new growth opportunity and is now stepping up its effort to find new business models. So far, we have a presence in broadcasting, finance and commerce, content distribution, fixed line services and handset manufacturing businesses. In the future, we plan to expand our business into telematics and RFID. Terminals equipped with DMB, finance, and built-in cameras are sold on the market today, and the terminal equipped RFID reader will be introduced by this year. Next, I will explain the usage scenario of a physical mobile RFID application. First, the user scans the RFID tag with the mobile terminal. This results in the RFID code being transferred from the tag to the mobile terminal. The mobile terminal accesses the mobile network and asks the user to select the RFID service. RFID service then directs requests for information to the RFID service platform consisting of object directory server, object traceability server, and object information server. These servers contained the necessary information about the tagged object, from simple text information to audio-video contents. This information is sent back to the mobile terminal. The user consumes this information, and then the mobile terminal will send billing information to the mobile network operator. Future many kinds of sensors will be applied to various places to sensing the environment condition, which information transmit, and to data managing equipment through mobile network infra. We call it US environment, which has the tremendous mobile business chance. Now we are trying to make a new kind of service with a mobile phone which has RFID reader chip inside. This is the main concept of mobile RFID service or technology with convergence between mobile phone and RFID. Mobile RFID technology is a wireless technology that provides new valuable service to customers by integrating RFID infrastructure with mobile communication and wireless internet. We hope mobile RFID technology and the service would bring these four conditions. First one is creating new value for mobile phone users. Second one is building new markets. Third one is improving quality of ubiquitous life. And the last one is developing and leading technology and standards with mobile RFID services using 900 megahertz RFID. I would like to introduce some examples of mobile RFID services. In this slide, you can see the information providing service. RFID tag is attached on bottles or cases of medicine, cover page of books, videotapes, etc. Using mobile phone, which has RFID reader chip inside, read this RFID tag. In the network, there is some kind of server which provides content address. Mobile phone sends RFID tag ID or user tags user data to this server. Then this server returns address of contents in response to RFID tag ID to mobile phone. With this address, mobile phone can access contents server, which has contents for medicine, books, etc. These contents could be just a simple WAP, that is a wireless application protocol, page or multimedia data such as the preview of movie. Product authentication is very good example of RFID application. There is a strong demand for product authentication in used car market, food and drug industry, medical user, such as tracking broad supplies and almost all second-hand product markets. So at first, we developed the ginseng authentication service to detect the counterfeit product in domestic excuse me, and the international market using cellular global roaming function. Now these services started 3 shops and the 1 department store as a trial business. We use the handheld terminal combining with the CDMA module and the RFID reader. These services will launch commercially after verifying the performance. Mobile RFID technology can be applied for route guidance such as public transportation route and road guidance. In leisure and lifestyle area, it can be used for route guidance, natural experience, promotional events, and for shopping, banking, applications, and so on. SK Telecom will start a trial experience for these businesses within this year, and plan to do more business case for commercial after trial. Actually, we draw plans about 200 different service models that will be commercial business targeting for our mobile customers. Another major area for RFID technology is in information downloading applications. The flower sales show is a very good showcase for such a purpose. Scanning RFID tags on plants and flowers, we can get information of flowers like name, place, and the history of origin, blooming time, medical treatment, as well as download of related pictures and the songs to mobile handset and combine with the promotion events. If customer requests delivery of items for sale with mobile phone with as a gift, we can send the favorite song and the message with it by reading RFID tag on flowers. Shops and restaurants are also perfectly well suited for deploying RFID technology to enhance value for customers. Tags attached to the entrance and or table scan of RFID tag with mobile phone, and then mobile phone display the contents. Users can access the contents very easily, then download information about the restaurant, record their favorite page at their own site. A businessman of a shop needs to promote their product and record their information on mobile phone. Also, customer can need to decide the menu for lunch or dinner for specially. This service is good mobile business because our customer desire personalized and customized services and more user-friendly access. RFID-based road information service can be made into a whole platform for providing all types of route information service. RFID technology can use location determination where cannot be fulfilled by GPS technology, such as inside of buildings, and could ultimately be cheaper once tag prices decline. Customers can get the route guidance, nearest store location, location maps, and the building information very easily and simply. We expect these services can increase the mobile data access traffic. Pole is sometimes very troublesome work. If the pole company can send the reward like a free mobile phone bell sound download, purchasing coupons, so then customers can do it willingly. Users touch the RFID tag attached on the bus stops, subway advertisement board, and to download the pole information on their mobile terminals. A taxi is not always a safe place for women at night. Safe Return Home service uses RFID technology to track taxis in case of theft and any other unpleasant experience a passenger may experience. A passenger can leave the tag installed in the taxi on the ceiling, under the seat, or under the driver registration card. Then taxi company send the information about the taxi to the passenger. Passenger can send those information to their parents or friends using the mobile short message service, pressing just the send button on mobile phone. Finally, I think customers are always the most critical element in our business. I believe that RFID can derive the success factors and get insight to the future direction operators must take. If we study these issues from the customer's perspective, which enhance customer values and improve user friendliness, we will seek continuous technology innovation to get the most optimal service environment. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions? If there are, if you could come down to the mic, please. And once again, thanks very much to our speakers who have come from halfway around the world.
Hi, I'm Matthew Dorfman from MIT, and I have two questions for Mr. Yoon. First, there are several different protocols that have been discussed for mobile RFID applications. NFC is probably the most well-known, but there's also something called R2R, and I think there are a few others. So my first question is, which of those do you see being the choice of SK Telecom, or is it too soon to tell?
Yes, SK Telecom consider the several technologies like NFC, RFID, or Zigbee, and many things. When we compare the NFC and RFID, 900 MHz RFID, NFC has the many dedicated functions like the security and the many safe functions. So that tag is the more expensive than the 900 MHz tags. Mm-hmm. Also, NFC needs the very short leading distance, but RFID tag is the longer distance. Mm-hmm. So we selected the 900 MHz RFID for useful things.
Okay.
And also we will start the NFC service at the pay or tickets.
Okay. So you would use the NFC service for payment for tickets?
We prepared now.
Okay, so yes. This would sort of replace the Moneta program that you have had, or would it just be an extension of the Moneta program?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you.
So thank you very much to the panel.